righteousness. Is that the way he said it? And his righteousness. Now, when we think of righteousness, when righteousness first comes to my mind, I think of a standard of living. The standard of living that God lays out in his word. And to be righteous, I need to walk according to that standard. That's what I think when I think of righteous. I think of right standing with God. Okay? When I'm blood bought, when I'm born again, I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Because our sins were as filthy rags, right? That's what Isaiah said. He said they once were red like crimson, but now they're white as wool or white as snow. Because now we are clothed in the righteous robes of Jesus. Amen? God doesn't judge us based on our righteousness. He judges us based on Jesus' righteousness. And he was without sin. Somebody should say amen. But when Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he specifically says his righteousness. When you think of God's righteousness, now listen to me, God's righteousness speaks of his covenant faithfulness. Did you hear me? God's righteousness speaks of his covenant faithfulness to save Israel. You with me? God made a covenant with Abraham, right? And he told Abraham that someday your descendants are going to inherit this promised land. God made that covenant promise to Abraham. Now he said, Abraham, they're going to have a little hiccup. They're going to be in bondage. They're going to be in slavery for about 400 years. And they were, but then God raised up a deliverer, Moses, and he sent Moses, and Moses led them out where? To the promised land. And on the way, God had to take care of Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, did he not? God had to save them. You know this story. This is my favorite story in the Bible. They're standing at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's behind them. Of course, the pillar of cloud, God's presence is behind them. But they don't see the pillar of cloud behind them. All they see is Pharaoh's army, the enemy. Are you like that sometimes? God's right here. God's with you. God's in you. But yet all we see is the enemy. All we see is the problem. And I think when Jesus says, listen, quit worrying and quit fretting about all this stuff. Seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, his covenant faithfulness. Whew. We serve a faithful God. Amen. But you know what? Sometimes with us, with us as human beings, in the busy lives we have, we're so caught up in it. The kingdom of God is kind of, it's on the back burner. God's covenant faithfulness, we may not even think of that during a whole day. I mean, dear Lord, I don't have time for that. I got the Facebook. I got to watch me some Netflix, man. And by the way, Pastor, don't you be scheduling any kind of services when there's a football game. I think somebody thought I was going to go to hell if I scheduled a service and there was a football game. I'm just asking you. when the kingdom of God is present, it's advancing. You with me? It's not, you know, Jesus described it as a mustard seed. And mustard seed is really teeny, teeny, tiny, but it grows up. It grows up into a pretty big, I don't know if I can call it a tree, but it's a pretty big bush. And the thing about a mustard seed, that mustard root seeds, the mustard seed's roots, is they will move rocks out of the way. And Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven like that mustard seed. Man, when it grows and it expands, it will move whatever it takes out of the way. Because the kingdom of God is always advancing. Amen? Now, wherever the kingdom is present and wherever the kingdom is advancing, God's saving work is evident. Okay? Now, one other thing. The kingdom of God is present and advancing. God's saving work is evident. Where and only where the people have made him king. Not just bought some fire insurance. I mean, I'll grant it. I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. Hell's a bad option, okay? So, you know, if you want to get saved, avoid hell, go ahead. All right? But you're going to be miserable if that's all you got. If you haven't made him king, you know, I already told you that God's righteousness is his covenant faithfulness. So through the blood of Jesus, we're part of that. We're part of a covenant with God. He's faithful to his side. Are we faithful to our side? See, in a relationship, it takes two. In a covenant takes interaction between the parties. Amen? So, sometimes we get so busy that we forget about the kingdom of God. Or we give God second place in our lives. That's on a good day. Sometimes he's third, fourth, or fifth, you know. Sometimes he's lucky to make the agenda. Okay? He said, man, you're being hard on us. Well, I'm gonna try to lead you out and leave you on a sweet note. Okay. I don't want to let anybody go. Okay. Don't anybody think that I think that you're going to hell for watching a football game. Okay. I don't think that at all. All right? Okay. At the Red Sea, through this great act of redemption, through God's covenant faithfulness, you've heard me say this before, he establishes his kingship with Israel. When Miriam grabs a tambourine in Exodus 15, 18, and she begins to proclaim, may the Lord reign forever and ever. First place, his kingship is announced. And then we have to fast forward some 1,500 years in the future. We see Yeshua, Jesus, at Calvary. And through a great act of redemption, he reestablishes God's kingship in people's lives. Not only does he reestablish that kingship, but now the spirit of Messiah, the spirit of the king, comes to live in us. Now, notice I didn't say we're gods. I didn't say that. I said the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Messiah, lives in us. Amen? All right, now. So, what do we do about when our lives have grown cold to God, cool to God? You know? Yeah, I used to be hot for 2 weeks, cold for 3 weeks, hot for 2 weeks, cold for 3 weeks, you know, until God filled me with his spirit. And from that point on, September 7th, 1990, I have served him. So, what's good church folk, if we're struggling a little bit, giving God priority. Nothing better than a good old-fashioned fast. Oh, man, you tell fat Americans it's time to fast, they're going to throw you out. Huh? All right, everybody relax. At ease. The teacher's going to test the students right now. I want to show you this. Man, somebody has really pressed hard on that one. All right. One of you good students, tell me what the first feast day during the Jewish calendar is. Passover. All right, let's put that up here. We celebrate that here every year, right? Because we don't believe you can celebrate Messiah's resurrection until you first celebrated his death as the Passover lamb. Amen? So, what starts the next day after Passover? What's the next feast? Nope, you're close. Unleavened bread. Now, God commanded that they not eat any unleavened bread or eat any bread with yeast in it for 7 days. Yeast being a type of sin. Okay, so as Jesus was the unleavened bread, or he was without sin, the children of Israel were commanded by God to not eat any bread that had yeast in it for 7 days. A reminder to them that you serve a holy God, therefore you be holy. Amen? Now, what did you say the next one was? First fruits. There we go. First fruits. Okay? At the first fruits offering, they brought the first of the barley harvest, waved it before God, right? And it guaranteed the rest of the harvest would be plenteous. The Apostle Paul says Jesus is our first fruits offering. He's the first one resurrected from the dead. This is my favorite. Because his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, guarantees our resurrection. Because he's our first fruits offering. All right, now somebody tell me what the next feast is. It just so happens it's 50 days after first fruits. Pentecost. Or as Jackie said, Shavuot, okay? Pentecost, we call it. Why do we call it Pentecost? Because that's a Greek word for 50. And Shavuot, this is Acts chapter 2 when the Spirit is being poured out. It's on the day of Shavuot or Pentecost. Amen? That wasn't the first Pentecost. That was probably about 1500, 1600th one, okay? They had been celebrating them that long. So now we spring forward to the fall of the year. Okay? Can anybody tell me what the first fruit or the first festival is? Feast of Trumpets. Okay. Yom Teruah. All right. Feast of Trumpets. 10 day. Okay, but wait a minute. That's not one of the feast days. Yom Kippur. This was the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur comes. Hold still, board. Yom Kippur is 10 days after Yom Teruah, and then is the Feast of Tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles is like an 8-day party celebrating their salvation, huh? Yeah, it's called Sukkot. Very nice. Sukkot. All right, now, 30 days before Yom Teruah is what? Teshuvah. And it lasts 30 days leading up to Yom Teruah. Okay, now, it's during this 30-day period that you are to search your heart. What's our goal? Our goal is to see if we can move God up from the bottom of our list of priorities up to the top, or at least get him in the top three. That was a joke, okay? He ought not be in the top three. He ought to be at the top, okay? Because some of you are like, oh, that's cool. That's cool. It'll be some work. It'll be a lot of work, but I could probably get him in the top three. No, probably not top two, but I can probably get him in the top three. No, that was a joke. So for 30 days, you were to search your heart. And if you had wronged anybody, you were to go make it right with them. Okay, I told you a story. I read about a Jewish man who had to rent a car. And it just so happened he needed new tires on his car. Well, the rental car had the same size tires. And they were all new. So he swapped them out, took the rental car back. Okay, but during